Good morning, everybody. It's March 10th, 2021. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks so much for listening today. Our old friends are back from the Kentucky Valley Education Co-op. Dr. Desi Bowling. Actually, she's my old friend, my new friend, Mr. Jerry Green, who's the former superintendent down in Pikeville in Kentucky. All right, is the new executive director over at KVEC, and it's a pleasure to have Jerry here for the first time. We've talked on the phone, but I think this is the first time he's done a podcast with us. And of course, Desi Bowling, the good. Has been with us many, many times before. We're going to talk about their new National Center for Innovation and Transformation that they're setting up at this incredible ESA, again, the KVEC, Kentucky Valley Education Co-op. And it's absolutely incredible what they do down there, how well-respected they are, et cetera, et cetera. We talk a lot when we talk about them about schooling and in rural America, in Appalachia in particular, and it's going to be a really good show, as it always is with them, which we're going to archive at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's our American Consortium for Equity and Education. We archive all our podcasts over there. We invite you to go over there. Again, ace-ed.org. If you're an educator or interested in education, join with us. Everything we do over there is free, and you will love our magazine, which is called Equity and Access. And it's there right in the middle of the homepage. You can flip through it, enjoy it. We're the only ones covering equity and access on a regular basis with 100% of our editorial geared to that. So we got a lot of great people advertising in the magazine. The industry stands with us. A lot of educators stand with us. We might be missing you, so please go over, join with us again, free at ace-ed.org. And without further ado, even though Jerry is the new executive director, it's always ladies first. Good morning, Dr. Bowling.
Good morning, Larry, and how are you on this beautiful sunny day?
It is a beautiful sunny day even here in Maine. Okay, it's gorgeous today.
Yes.
How about that? Okay, and it was a sparkling warm 9 degrees this morning when I just looked at the thermometer. So there you go, the barefoot time we call it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a
just
little
kidding.
Frosty here, but we've experienced in the past 2 weeks we've had an ice storm, we've had snow, and we've had flooding. And
all
for
I can say,
3 days it's
all
been
I can say about that is better you than me. No offense, of course. Right.
Yes.
I'm sorry you're going through that. That stinks. Okay, and it's no fun, but the weather's hopefully turning into spring. All right, and Desi, it's great to have you here, as it always is, my friend. Okay, and Jerry, welcome. I think this is the first podcast we've done.
Thank you. This is the first podcast for me, but I'm really excited to be on here with you. We have many folks here within this area that follow your work. Actually are excited for us to participate, and we just think it's a real privilege to be on here with you.
Well, I consider it a privilege to have you here with me, to tell you the truth. You guys are good friends. And by the way, I want to say Jerry was born and raised in Appalachia, okay? McGuffin County, which I looked up, is not – you guys are in Perry County. Am I right? I looked this up. I think I'm right. Desi?
That's correct.
Oh, Jerry, okay. But you're in Perry. You were raised in McGuffin, okay? I got this here. And you were teacher, principal, and also the school superintendent in Pikeville. And welcome to the new job. How are things going, Jer? Is Desi treating you well?
Yes, and as you are well aware, here the Kentucky Valley Educational Cooperative serves 23 school districts in rural Appalachia. And it is such an honor to get to work with the students and the staff from those member school districts. And this educational cooperative, just as Dr. Bowling mentioned earlier, with what the people of Appalachia, and I would invite anyone, just please research or Google what's happened here within the past few weeks. I mean, we've had the majority of the families in the school districts that we serve not have electricity for over two consecutive weeks.
Jay, I didn't know this.
We've also been
weather's been
trying
that
to
bad.
Provide basic needs. Oh, exactly. We've been trying to provide basic needs to school districts, whether it was delivering clothes, water, just essential items, aside from the educational aspect.
I, you know, when you were, Desi, when you brought up the weather a few minutes ago, I thought it was just a passing thing. Was that serious?
Oh, it's terrible. If people Google Beattyville, Kentucky, one of our member districts in Lee County, that whole town was completely underwater. And here at Quebec, you know, we have some resources, and just this morning I'd stopped at a school to deliver some hand sanitizer and some of that stuff just so that they would, because we have some in big bottles, and being able to take some of that so that they could do some cleaning. But, yes, we've had people, it's terrible. They have lost everything. And so,
God, I did not
know. One of the things that you... People in rural America, though, we're really blessed that everybody pools together, and it isn't something, you know, it's not something that's covered by the national news, and you know yourself that rural America is sometimes forgotten by the national news media, but we're not forgotten by the people who live in rural America. So,
and you know what you just said a second ago about that, I don't remember, and I watch the news each night, certainly the national news up here in Maine. We don't get Kentucky news, but I don't think this has been covered at all. They've been covering the water crisis in Jackson, Mississippi on a kind of a regular basis, but I haven't heard anything about bad weather in Kentucky and Appalachia. That's amazing. Wow.
I'll send you some pictures of Beattyville and then Floyd County, Lee County, Floyd County, and many of the counties, and in certain areas, it's just been terrible. So I'll send you some pictures later, and it's unbelievable, really.
And what scares me is that I don't know how this has been well hidden. I look at CNN every day, you know, just you know, as part of my internet travels. And it hasn't been met. That's really bad, I got to tell you. I'm sorry you guys are going through that. I got to tell you that right off the bat. That stinks.
Well, you know, we're a resilient group of people, so we'll persevere and come through that even stronger.
Well, of course you will. Of course you will, but it still stinks. Okay, is all I can tell you. There's not much we can do about it, say that it stinks and get better. But, geez, that's just terrible. I'm sorry for everybody down there. Okay, and... what can I tell you? They haven't had electricity for a couple of weeks. Good Lord. Wow. Okay, you got me.
Larry.
Yeah. Jeff.
Larry, as you well know, we're trying to focus on meeting the basic needs aside from just the educational aspect.
Of course. You know, and actually that in many ways has not been covered that well within the news over the pandemic. How during the pandemic the schools kept feeding kids. You talk about basic needs, okay? And then an emergency situation pops up like what you guys are going through right now, which, again, I don't think anybody knows about, okay? And I pride myself on knowing something about the news. I'm going to look this up after we're done the show today. But the schools have really stepped up, and you guys are just part and parcel of that. And I hope everybody's okay down there. That is just terrible. Whole town's underwater. Wow, Desi, that's amazing. Hope it'll all clear up soon. Was it a rain? I got to ask, what's the flooding from? Is it a rainstorm? Jerry?
Yes. We've had multiple snowstorms. This is our first ice storm in over 11 years, and there was back-to-back ice storms. And then, of course, we had more water here than since 1957 in many areas. So that was, and here this comes about just as schools are trying to reopen, as we're trying to get our employees and the school districts vaccinated to return to somewhat of a normal assemblance. And then, of course, our cooperative is busy and has been busy trying to focus prior to this on trying to help districts make up for essentially a lost year in education and focusing on what we can help them do for this coming summer, because as you're probably well aware, they're trying to use the remainder of the school year and the upcoming summer. I think most politicians don't like to use the phrase catch up or to return to grade level. They want to use more positive terms like acceleration. Well, whatever it is that you want to call it or refer to it, that's what we're trying to help them do, Larry.
Yeah, you're going to help them do it because you guys always come through in the end. But it's just amazing. And my idea about school, and I know kids lost a year, but, you know, I always say to people, when we say K-12, the fact that it ends in K in the 12th grade, is although we've gotten used to it, it's really arbitrary. Okay? It wasn't – it just happened. Okay? I've never seen any real rationale, scientific thing that every kid gets everything they need by 12th grade. And if we have to extend that to 13, okay, that's okay. Everybody's in the same boat right now. All right? And the, believe me, the kids are resilient. Their higher education will be resilient, et cetera. But we can take our time and make this work. That K-12, okay, that's an arbitrary thing, the 12. We can make it to 13. Am I wrong, Desi? Can we do more for these kids who need it?
Well, you are exactly correct. I think that it's about, you know, we've got to do a good job about grouping and regrouping and moving in and out. And it's about meeting these kids where they are, and that's what we try to do. We try to look at what their needs are and then provide for those needs, and it doesn't matter. You know, like grade is just it's arbitrary, just like
it's
age.
Arbitrary.
And the older I get, that's what I say. The age is just arbitrary, just like a grade level. So that's what we have to do. And that's what we do try to do here at KVEC. We try to help teachers really look at the kids' needs and then provide for them based on what their need is to help them be successful as they do move through. So,
and Jess, I got to tell you, age is arbitrary, especially as anyone ages. Desi, what you can't imagine what it's like once you get past 30. It's unbelievable.
Well, I'm not got there yet, so.
I know. I know. That's my point. I want to. You guys are trying to do something, and I know you will succeed. Oh, by the way, I have a hello for you, Desi, and I think, Jerry, you might know this person too. I did a show a couple of days ago with the authors of a new book called Teaching in Rural Places. Okay, and I'm going to say that because you should know about this book. And a woman, you guys came up. Do you know Amy Price Azzano, Professor Azzano, Desi?
Is she at Virginia Tech?
She sure is.
Yeah. Sure do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your name came up. She said she's working with you guys, doing some kind of project.
We've partnered a couple of times on projects. So
there you go. She says hello. She says hello in her. And I'll tell you, that book, which we talked about during the show on Monday, really looks interesting because it talks about the sociology as well as the education aspects of teaching in rural America, okay, and that we're going to be able to retain teachers a lot stronger in rural America if they appreciate rural America. Okay, and rural America appreciates them. It was a very interesting conversation. I really think this book's going to be really, really good. Okay, again, everybody, it's Teaching in Rural Places. The
pretty
good stuff. I got
to
think.
And she's correct I've sat in on a lot of some programs for these universities as far as the teacher leader programs, and that was one of the low points for university whenever they would put their applications in was about diversity. And teaching kids in rural America is just as unique as teaching kids anywhere. So I think that's what I look forward to reading her book.
Yeah, it's good. They're really cool. But anyway, she says hello. Well, and Devin Brenner is another one of the authors, and Ann Schulte. Yeah, cool people. I love it. Talk to me. What you guys do at KVEC is amazing. All right? And I'll throw this to Desi, but you can swing it over to Jerry if you want. You guys run your National Center for Innovation and Transformation. It's an emerging pilot program that you created pilot programs from it. Talk about the center, what it's doing, and how what you're looking to do with that. Again, it's a national center coming out of the KVEC in Kentucky. And I'll throw it at the desk so you can talk about it, whichever if you want.
Well, we, through our work with our local schools and our districts for over 20 years now, what we documented, that there was a communication vacuum among schools, communities, and district leadership. And then I guess it's been about 10 years ago, at the local and regional levels, at the school systems, we put systems in place through a couple of our programs that we've talked about on your show before. Our PEDL program, which stands for Perpetuating Excellence in Teaching, Leadership, and Learning, and then also another program, ACT, Activating Catalytic Transformation. And both of these programs require a team commitment comprised of district leadership, school leadership, and teachers. And then through those programs, we would work with teams to examine their data, identify their challenges, and then, as the old saying goes, kind of peel back the onion until you get to the heart of where the challenges truly lie. And then based on the sound data, we help those the educators to identify levers within their schools and within their communities that could be used to develop solutions. And then those teams that followed the system and worked through, and we worked with, they really documented a change in the culture of the school, in the district, and in the community, and then in student achievement. So, and we saw teachers staying. They were, you know, it's like talent attracts talent. And so when you're doing well, then they were able to have a good teaching pool, and that would stay. And so as we looked at where we could move this to, and we chose to focus on our center, and now it's just getting started, because we felt like that right now is a time for for schools and communities to come together to ensure that our children aren't academic casualties of this pandemic. And we know that public education has suffered and continues to suffer a lack of public trust and faith. I mean, that is disappearing from the public education system. It's been damaged right now, and I think everybody would agree. And so we believe here at KVEC that we can work with teams of educators on this national level to put actions in place that will help to restore public trust. And so We want teams of educators to come together. We're going to do a week-long residential program right here in Hazard, Kentucky. And these people, we want, and then we're going to be working with these people over the course of the year to really go in. There needs to be, and five broad areas. We want, you know, the vision keeper. That's a team member who's going to work to bring all these elements together to build an educational ecosystem of place-sensitive culture and have continuous improvement. And then, of course, we're talking about personalized professional learning and a lead for that, so that teachers get the just-in-time the professional development that they need to help kids. And it needs to be having a coherent and rigorous personalized professional effort for all staff. And then we need to look at leadership and developing that pipeline so that we have building that capacity now, and then look that system is going to be in that district and in that school. And then also I think school culture, and that is a common thread that's going to intertwine all of these, because we have to have a really good positive culture. And that takes an effective leader. And then actually telling your story. How do you tell the good things about what's going on in these schools and how kids are learning? Because we hear negative things all the time about what's not happening. Well, you need somebody in there to really tell. Yes. And so, you know, and really build back up public trust that's been lost for education as a whole. So we believe that we can bring these folks together, and then when they go back to their own districts or their own school, then that can what they've learned and the systems that we put in place can kind of permeate across that whole district and the community, because the community needs to stand behind public education, and they need to And public education needs to be out there in the community and involve them with the education of our children.
Are the things you're I got a couple ways to ask the next question. Are the things you're talking about, do you see it more in let me just finish the whole thing, rural America, those things that you said you use that public education has been damaged, okay? Mm-hmm. And I wrote down the terms as emotional and physical as you said that, because emotional is probably harder to fix than physical damage. Okay, now right now it sounds to me like you've got some physical damage with those damn storms, which, by the way, I just started to Google as you were talking, floods in Kentucky 2021, and I can't believe what I saw just in the second I looked at it, a river swallowed an ambulance. We're going to talk about this some more. I'm going to read up on it today. But my point is there's a difference between physical and emotional, all right? And if public education has been damaged, has it been – was that damage in effect before the pandemic? Okay, because it's physical damage, so to speak, from the pandemic because you just couldn't go to school. But are we talking about emotional? How deep is this wound? Jerry, I'll ask you, and if you want to pass it to Desi, you can. How deep is the wound?
Yes, extremely. And what I mean by that, I think because we're not typically marching here. We're not typically making our voices known in other areas, but in rural Appalachia or even in rural America. And what I mean by that, especially like what we've been through recently, just stop to think about if our students would have been in urban areas, they would have had the opportunities for shelters. They would have had the opportunities for city or municipal transportation. And they don't have those opportunities, especially going through things like we've been through recently. And when you talk about that worldwide pandemic toll and the emotional issues, and you think, okay, how are they disadvantaged in rural America regarding the educational side or aspect? You look at the lack of broadband because during this virtual learning, we've got parents and families trying to commute to the nearest McDonald's to upload their homework on McDonald's free Wi-Fi or something, you know. And then as far as the educational opportunities, the museums and things of that nature, they're not nearly as accessible as if you're in an urban area. And Even when the aspect you're talking about as far as basic needs, health care is not as prevalent or as close or proximity as within urban areas. So that's huge. And that's one of the things, like when you talk about insight, what's so exciting about what we're trying to do here with that is create an experience that will provide this high-quality, clinical, personalized, professional learning for all the staff that's focused on a school district or school-specific problems. In other words, we try to make sure that this Insight program is designed specifically for them. It's not a cookie-cutter process for all. It's specifically for them, and whether their school's plateaued or they need this extra boost for continuous improvement, this experience is designed for them. So we try to make sure, regardless their situation or their specific needs, that this Insight program is focused upon them and specifically designed and tailored for them.
And you want this to go national. This is we're talking National Center for Innovation and Transformation. Again, I'm going to use the word national. Okay, so I'll go back to Desi. Desi, Dr. Bowling, what you're talking about, are you talking about for rural education nationwide, or do you see it more as a local, more localized in the Appalachia program?
Oh no, we see how that it being national. and not just localized, because we know the work that we've done locally has made an impact, and we've seen that. So with our national center, we really are committed to the belief that every individual can contribute to making the world and their place in it be a better place for everybody. So we want that to go to national. I think that rural people as a whole, you know, like Jerry said, we don't have the support that's found in more urban areas. And so we want to work with people so that they can help develop individual and the collective capacity of educators, and really look at that, and so that they can look at what the future is, because we always talk, and one of the things that we talk about here is helping our districts to see around what's the next, you know, the next curve in the road, and mm-hmm. we want to be around that curve and looking at what the future is going to hold. So we think that with our education system here and in many rural areas, simply because of the lack of broadband, the lack of, and you talked about social. One of the things that with the social-emotional impact, too, that we've seen is because, you know, schools have tried to have that focus, too, and many of the comprehensive care centers here where we're at, they will have a school-based therapist. Well, since these schools have been closed, kids aren't even getting that anymore.
Yeah.
And because they can't see their teachers every day or their peers every day, you know, that's what I mean, too, is about the damage that's been done to our children, not being able to have those connections and things as well. So through the center, we want to show that all of these areas, that whenever we're looking at schools, whether it be leadership, the professional learning, the school culture, and looking at that vision, that all of those are important. And it takes all of us to do that work, and we need to all be on, you know, just have that same vision and all be working toward that goal. And so, because when you go into school systems, we may have, and if you're looking at really big districts, the resources in one, so I'm just talking about Pike County. County is our biggest school district.
Yeah.
Well, Pike County, when you're looking at Pikeville, they've got, it's wealth. I mean, it's total wealth. And then when you go to the school community of Phelps, you know, they don't have a whole lot. So those kids don't even have the rich experience that kids living in Pikeville may have. And I think, Jerry lived there, and he could probably expand on that more. But so what we want to look at within that school system, but doesn't every kid in Pike County deserve to have, you know, opportunities?
Absolutely.
So even within our own, our own districts. And so district leadership and school leadership need to be able to come together to really work toward providing those opportunities for kids across that district. And so that is, and we find that doesn't happen. And so that's, one of the goals of Insight, too, is just bringing people together and having them to talk to see how we could work with these districts to really look at the future and do that in a thoughtful and informed way right now and take action to as we move forward.
It's all wonderful. And I must ask, because, and Jerry said this beautifully before, and we all agree, during this pandemic and now in your current emergency situation, you said it too, you know, the schools have stepped up. The school districts have mm-hmm. stepped up providing food and all that sort of stuff for folks who need it. Yet So they step up, and I'm sure they've been providing food the whole time of this pandemic for people who need it, et cetera. All right. My question is, Des, you said this before, that there is a damage in people's trust to the school districts. Okay. But considering that the school districts have stepped up and done, without question, the best they can, why is there a Why are people not trusting the school districts, or have lost faith in them, however you want to say that? It seems to me it would be stronger than ever. Okay, what's going on? Well, it's a juxtaposition. You guys do step up. I know you and your groups down there. Okay, and the same goes for everywhere. What's going on, Desi?
But I think that, you know, the people here in our region, whenever, you know, they want the kids back in school. And so you have people
Everybody does.
Many people, because you'll hear them say, you know, they have to go to work. And so then many people have not been able to go to work. They've not been able to get unemployment. It's just all these agencies are down. And so people who, and like we were talking earlier, when they're trying to help kids with their homework and they're not able to, or they're having to go out and find a hot spot at 11 o'clock at night so that they can get this homework in. And then, you know, or they're not being told that their child is failing, you know, and then there might be glitches in one, and two examples I can give you, and this is more widespread than these two examples, but one parent had put on Facebook about, you know, she has four children and one of them needs 24-hour care, and then her other three, they didn't want their report cards to be put up on the refrigerator because they were failing, but the teachers had not made the connections with that parent to let them know that that child, or two children actually, needed help. So that parent was furious, and then when you see all of the information there from other people, the responses from other parents who have had this same experience, and then you have one who said, well, you know, my kid's doing great. Well, we need to do a better example as far as communicating with our parents. And so, you know, you have that. And then, again, you have with the younger kids, with the teachers, you know, there's some of them feel like that there's not a whole lot that they can do whenever they're trying to do it with the, you know, on the Internet and that kind of stuff. And I know that teachers are doing the best they can, and they want to do well. And then when you see on the national news for the teacher unions who don't want schools to start back when, you know, they've been vaccinated and all of that, but then yet you see, I think it was in California, where that head of the union was taking his own child for in-person classes. You know, those kinds of things, it just sends a negative message.
Crazy. Yeah, it is a weird message. And, you know, so, but communication, let's just use that as an example with that lady, that parent you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
How do we fix this? Because let's face it, most school districts, and you guys in particular in this case, are fairly strapped for dollars. People are making less money. A lot of people can't work. There's less tax dollars. You know the story. And you've always been kind of strapped for dollars. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What is the goal? Where does the fix come in? Who's responsible for the fix? I mean, you can't get blood from a stone. You can't keep asking the parents, the taxpayers, to pay more and more and more and more, though it is partly their responsibility. We got to tap into a larger entity, i.e. the state. Okay? So where do we take this? And Jerry, I'll ask you. You're the boss now. Jerry, where do we take this?
We do everything we possibly can to have our students return to school as quickly as possible. Not just for the socialization or the educational side. Think about this. Besides the sports aspect and being a part of something big, greater than yourself, think about if you've got a child who, even if you look at history, like whether it's been wars or depressions or the most downtrodden times, what people gravitate to is the arts, whether it's music, whether it's song, whether it's dance, and those things and those opportunities that lift people's spirits, even
yep.
religion and attending church services, those
sure.
things have been taken away as well. So as soon as you can start not only providing education back, but those other extracurricular services, whether it's a music program, whether it's a theater program, whether it's returning to churches, for example, or whatever religious denomination they are, those kinds of things and gathering of individuals will start to lift their spirits and move
Agreed.
Them forward in education. And that's some of the things. We're basically trying to assist others at a national level with this Insight program in doing the things, because if you look at it, Larry, we kind of attribute here in Appalachia, if as many disadvantages as poor rural Appalachia has and we are still successful, then
yeah.
we know that we can help others in better situations than we have here. And that's why it's such a great opportunity to speak with you, because we have this application process going on right now until April the 2nd, the deadline for it's Insight application and information. If any of the schools and districts want more information, it's on the holler.org.
Thank you.
HOLLER.org. And they can find the application and more information to become a part of this Insight program. And not only does it help instill and develop hope, because you know as well as anyone, if you're not inspired, if you're not enthusiastic, then whomever your audience or whomever those
Right.
students are, it will not be. So when you talk about people like Dr. Bowling and others leading a national program like this, the fantastic thing is
you forgot two words, the amazing Dr. Bowling. The amazing Dr. Bowling.
There you go. Exactly.
Yeah.
But they have done this on a national level before, and that's why instead
yeah.
of just keeping this at a local, a regional, or a state level, that we want to expand this, and we are among other states as we speak. So that's what's so exciting about this opportunity.
It really is, and you know, you were right in everything you said, but this is a national center for innovation, and I love this word, transformation, okay? And, you know, that parent who's complaining that the communications were a little bit lax, okay, that can't happen anymore. We learn a lesson from that parent. Okay, that parent, by the way, is correct. The communications is the key through all this, okay? And so my point is, okay, how do we get to make sure that every school district has the broadband, has the communication power it needs? Because that's going to make, as one thing, all the difference in the world. Desi, the amazing Dr. Desi?
Well, I think and that's where it comes in with communication with the communities, because with the broadband and the way it is here in Kentucky, you know, they talk about the first mile, the second mile, and the last mile.
Yeah.
You know, the first mile, and that's the last mile is getting it from the center of town, from that town seat, out to the hollers where people can use it.
Right.
And so
yeah.
we've got to work and bring in those community partners with
yep.
the internet providers, because sometimes the expense is just overwhelming for people who live up in these hollers, and providers aren't too eager to run internet into these hollers if they're not making a profit. And so somehow we've got to work with our communities and with those providers to, you know, to get them to do that and to provide and run that internet service hollers.
Absolutely.
And that's something that I think that that are at the state level that they've not thought about, and probably at the federal level too. They think about the first mile, the second mile, but they really don't look at the last mile. And then just the cost. it's different in different areas, and it's more, you know, it's more expensive here in these rural areas than it is in
in
the not so rural areas.
Of course,
and well, for a lower level of broadband, a lower level of service.
Welcome to the world. It's absolutely ridiculous. But to take this full circle, okay, we owe, and you guys certainly know this, every kid the same education. We owe every parent the same level of communication. I don't care if they're in downtown Louisville, okay, or if they're in the heart in some holler in Pike County, okay, they deserve the same. Okay, and that's what I think you guys are trying to do at the end. Okay, is make a transformational time. Okay, and get everybody on this so that everybody gets this equal. It's enough already. And I think that's, if anything, we have learned from this damn pandemic. Okay, and that lady you pointed out is the perfect example. Okay, the sad example. All of a sudden, she doesn't get the information she needs. She's a parent. Okay, she doesn't know what to do with her kid who needs full-time care, and the other three are going nuts, and they just have to schlep them to McDonald's to do their homework. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I got to ask, we got to go in just a minute, Jerry. I don't mean to interrupt or be rude. Okay, let me just say it's Holler, H-O-L-L-E-R, holler.org. Is that the best way for everybody to get in touch with you? Desi, Jerry?
That's correct.
The Holler, T-H-E-H-O-L-L-E-R. So we have to put V in front of it. T-H-E-H-O-L-L-E-R.org.
TheHoller.org. And I'll tell you, this is something everybody better stand up and holler about. Okay, it's enough already. Okay. Okay, Jared, real quick, we got a minute. Go, Jared.
Okay. Just imagine virtual learning in Eastern Kentucky was educators getting on school buses, delivering breakfast and lunches and a packet of information to make up for no broadband. It was the same analogy I could give you is a correspondence course 50 years ago in education.
Yep. Well said. And I'm going to say what I said again. Look at that dedication to those kids. For people in the pandemic to get on a school bus with lunch and the papers ready to go and deliver it to a kid. So public trust in education, we got to make sure that people understand how valuable your educators are everywhere. Okay, that's just a perfect example of that. Okay, and now we got to all work together to make it work. And I hope people, the citizenry, understand the value of the education and the work everybody does nationwide in rural America. Okay, it's that simple. We got to go. I have to cut it short. Okay, Desi, you're wonderful as always. Jerry, you're almost equal to Desi these days.
I'll never be.
thank you, Larry. You have a wonderful day.
Then that is something you can continually strive for, Jer, okay? Be as wonderful as Desi, okay? It gives you a goal, all right? We got to go, guys. I love you both. You guys take care. Right. Be safe down there. I can't believe what you told me at the beginning of this show. I'm going to learn more about what's going on in Kentucky. What a mess, okay? Be careful, guys. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Unbelievable, with the work they do, KVEC, it's theholler.org, theholler, H-O-L-L-E-R, .org. And I got to tell you what's going on in Kentucky. I just flipped over on the internet here. The flooding in Kentucky causes landslide that swallows ambulance. Okay, entire city flooded in Kentucky. Oh, my God, I didn't even know any of this was going on. They need this. Like, they need a hole in the head on top of this pandemic. Well, good folks down there. It's KVEC, okay? Kentucky Valley Educational Co-op. Again, it's theholler.org, their National Center for Innovation and Technology. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Go over to ace-ed.org, see what we're doing. Join with us. Thanks for listening.